Resonant Truth presents Natural Time, Mayan Astrology for a Modern Age. I'm Lisa Starr. I was raised in the faith of the Mayan sacred calendars. These ancient cycles have been resurrected for a modern audience and called Natural Time, in part because our year of uneven month lengths is, by comparison, really unnatural. I am not here to lead any kind of revolt against the Gregorian calendar, but I do want to bring the Mayan alternative to light, and I want you to know about Mayan astrology, where the passage of time and your birthday within it has deep mystical and magical significance according to indigenous spirituality. I am passionate, I am transparent, and I am emotionally available, if not volatile. And that's because I'm a blue overtone storm. You can find out what you are at Resonant Truth. Today on the Soul King Count is called Yellow Cosmic Star, and it is the 13th day of the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell. And it's the solar moon day. I think it's the 22nd. That's awesome that I could not I can't remember. I'd have to go and look online to find out if it's the 21st or the 22nd. I cannot remember if these moons are starting on Sundays or Mondays right now. So it could be either. So sorry. It doesn't really matter as long as you know what's right. It doesn't matter whether I know, but if I'm supposed to be some kind of like arbiter or leader, then I apologize. I think that is my role in having a podcast about natural time, but I don't know. It's close to the end of the solar moon is one way to generalize, and we just went through a pretty big week in the West of this fiery intent. I have a lot of synchronicities. I'm just reporting after arriving home from a three to four day trip to Santa Barbara, where I used to live, where I was a better intuitive and mystic. I was actually just more mystical, same intuitive. I took my intuition with me, but that place is more mystical, and living there made the enchantment deeper. So I got to revive some enchantment and stoke some of the synchronicities that emerge from following the calendars here, and maybe I can report about that. But mostly, let's start with having completed the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell. And to me, there's a few key takeaways on a what we call global level, although it's pretty situated in Eastern Europe. Ukraine really started to surpass in dominance the Russian onslaught, even though the Russian onslaught was terrible and inhumane, in that there were increased civilian casualties and pandemonium, just increased like horror. It is being reported that they're losing in terms of, you know, overcoming territory. They actually degraded their assault in the last 13 days. So when you're just looking for that descriptor about Yellow Warrior, that it's the right fight and it's protecting the vulnerable. It isn't helter-skelter assault. It isn't call to war. It's call to defense. And the hieroglyph shows a shield, and the shield represents keeping something safe behind it. And when we're in the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell, we have a shield, and we can take risks and be fearless and be safe behind our shield. And hopefully in our own individual lives, we move forward in some way, like defending our soul or seeking, being fearless, being led somewhere that feels dangerous at other times, but not in order to set ourselves up for harm. But, you know, we have like a truth-seeking mission, something to attain, and we are less afraid in doing it, and we engage with the mission rather than avoiding it in the Yellow Warrior time. But just again, in terms of current events, I had trepidation about the solar moon and the yellow warrior wave spell coinciding with what's happening in Ukraine. And even though what's happening isn't really easing up in terms of the emotions it draws in beholding it, it ended up being kind of in the archetypal realm that I would hope for. I would hope for the winners to be the ones who have the best cause, the righteous cause. But here we are, the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell always bleeds right into, or rolls, flows right into Red Moon. So we go from one archetypal polarity to the other, always at this junction in the Zolk'in. Because Yellow Warrior really does have an archetypal male energy, protective. I mean, the good archetype of male, protective, strong, disciplined. You know, someone who's not operating from chaos, but stability and strength, earned strength, sought strength, so they can be these words, just, righteous, and defenders. And then we go into, I mean, I guess a beautiful, powerful, archetypal, feminine, the flow, the water. The aspect that is woman-like about this is that women hold a menstrual flow or a moon cycle in their bodies. And from my experience of being female, that means that I'm really tidal. And the emotionality is the changeability, the mutability, the different phases that the element of water can enter. And, you know, so I can be an ice queen, and I can boil over, and I can be calm and steady, and I can seek my balance. I can be, you know, head downhill. I can have surges, swells. And so can every man operating from their feminine aspect. So it's not really meant to be gender directed. It's just detailing an archetypal descriptor of masculine and feminine balancing aspects. But we go from one extreme to the other now. We do it now, and we're at that junction, finishing out the Yellow Warrior Wave Spell and starting the Red Moon. And I'm like very seasick from a lot of driving and traveling and just being in motion and landing back where I live. You know, really not stoked about that. So I am entering my antipode starting tomorrow. So I want to contextualize the complaints that are definitely going to come through in the narrative of my podcast here. I am going on the journey of the opposite energy to my birth astrology. Every one of us has an antipode, and every one of us has an antipode wave spell. And I find that I am really balanced by Red Moon, by the water, and by fluctuation and changeability and being overpowered by lunar energy, meaning surrendering that there is something in the sky that creates volatility or ease just in its gravitational pull. Like I like having that belief and faith and trust and surrendering to it. So by the end of my 13-day journey through my antipode energy, I know I'm going to feel more balanced. And that's my suggestion for you, is to not force it and be like, you know, trying to sell yourself on your antipode without also just witnessing what happens. But having been through a lot of antipode experiences consciously, I have come to the conclusion that no matter what happens in my antipode time, I end up feeling like brought to a place of holism for the experience. And some of us, if you're a Red Moon white wizard, blue storm, or yellow seed person will have whole years that are your antipode. And my antipode year starts next year, July 26th. So it can be really great if you're any of the four tribes I just named, because then you get a whole year that's your energy. Look out. But then the payoff or the balance to that is that you get a whole year that's antipode for you. So when I feel into this day, a cosmic day has a lot of strong enduring and transcending. The transcendence part is transcending things that were difficult about the Yellow Warrior Wave spell. And enduring to me is the invitation to understand what's to come. So let me clarify. Jose Arguelles, for the cosmic tone, the 13th tone of 13, chose the words to endure and transcend presence. And I use it kind of as a phrase, as I just did, you know, that I connect the words he chose, endure, transcend, presence, as a directive, you know, like command or suggestion, a strongly worded suggestion. To endure and transcend presence is to exist in the cosmic tone. So you endure what you haven't yet transcended. You're in the discomfort of things that haven't already been overcome or integrated. You know, they stand alone. They seem like obstacles, headaches, disruptions in your life. There's a foreboding for me on the cosmic day of like, oh, come on. Okay, what's difficult about this day is just the stirring of the beast of the wave spell that's arriving. I'm going to give an example from pop culture, which I'm trying to like distance myself from, but I got a text from my child showing me that I wasn't planning to watch the Oscar ceremony, but I got information from her about the most memorable part of the Oscar ceremony of 2022, which is that the actor Will Smith like really hard slapped. It looked like a punch, a blow to the head from one actor to another, or from Will Smith the actor to Chris Rock the comedian. The quick diagnosis here, using Mayan astrology to manage the upset that happens in a pop cultural setting that is irrelevant but somehow influential, including on me because my stomach hurt when I watched it, is that there is like the fulfillment of Yellow Warrior. Someone acted out on behalf of his partner who he wanted to protect her honor or just protect her dignity, protect her feelings, and he went and created violence, and you could say he was defending her against the violence in the comedian's assault. But there was all of this emotional volatility that looked really unhinged and overblown, overly dramatic, i.e. caught in a tidal surge, you know, out of balance, water, foment. Like, that's how it felt to me in my body. So, you know, we get the fulfillment of some nobility or the reason that war exists, a violent act. Yellow Warrior is about violence or a violent act or the possibility, potentiality of that. Like, it is the battle between entities. So we had it. We witnessed that. And maybe you didn't. I'm telling you about it. And then yet the discomfort that I feel, the thing that isn't actually transcendent about that moment as I behold it, and a bunch of the public does as well, is just like, I don't know. Didn't seem very cool. Seemed superly emotionally strung out and, you know, complicated. It creates complicated emotions all around it. It is like turbulence, you know, watery emotional turbulence. So there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not trying to say that female emotionality of any kind is therefore suspect in a man, in a woman, etc. I just know that the emotional response I had to looking at a little war was like being seasick. So I associate that kind of like, I'm on the wide open ocean and I'm not exactly grounded and I'm feeling a little upset and the disturbance is here, the give, the surrender to the vast unsettled nature of water as just, it's like a menstrual experience, you know? We have all these emotional hormonal surges, we women, and that happens obviously in all of us when our feelings get so big, they swell, they flood us, that, you know, our mood is changeable the way water is, you know, like from ice to fire, or what are we saying, ice to steam. Who knows how this red moon time will play out? If we go back to the Ukrainian world stage for a moment, red moon is the mystical occult time of Vladimir Putin. So I don't know how we'll see that. That could be white magic that is helpful for him, a way out, a magical way out of his prideful vanity and sadism, or it could be black magic, that something about this time is spellbinding to him and he gets even farther into the morass of his own mental breakdown. But it does have a relationship to that man. And I want to then retrace one day, because I wasn't able to anticipate it. I was on the road. I was attending a memorial. I'll talk about that in a minute. But what I did want to let you know was that Saturday, yesterday, the 26th of March, was Blue Crystal Hand. And that day is really a big one because it emulates or imitates or is rhythmically descendant of December 21st, 2012, when there was so much focus on the Mayan calendar, the calendar ending or the world ending. And I always like to point out, and I probably will forever because it seems like that's what happened, is that that calendar day arrived and passed without like an identifiable, like, okay, the world is still here, I guess. And I was still following the Zolkin. My Mayan calendar didn't end. Everything seemed kind of nice, celebrative, powerful. And then soon after, a couple of years, we really started to have these central issues that we could all agree upon, like, I guess the fulcrum of resistance to racial inequity and bias, coupled with a pandemic, coupled with all of the foment that Trump created and how that really reflects autocratic behavior overtaking democratic ideals. And then climate change, like we just have this full scale, like handful, a great count of different obstacles that we're facing as a species or here on Earth. So that was 2012. It's been a decade. And I mean, I guess it hasn't been. It's been 9 years. It will be 10 years this coming winter, and we can reflect back and go, oh, it is kind of the end of the world. We use that language a lot now. So it seems to me, even though I never had any stakes in the Mayan prophecy being real, that it seems more real now. I was like, well, I guess we'll have to wait and see, and we can see. So I always like to pay attention to what happens on the Blue Crystal Hand Day, guided by Blue Storm. That day was, is, that prophecy of that day was and is, it echoes, it resounds when we come to Blue Crystal Hand again. And yet, you know, I thought it was a good day. I wanted to share the synchronicity that I I asked a musician to play a kirtan event, which is Hindu chanting, on behalf of my friend Stan, who died at age 77. He died in the red earth wave spell, his antipode. He was a blue galactic hand. And the musician came up with a date, because he, of course, is the one with other demands on his time, and he chose March 26th, a Saturday. He chose blue crystal hand. And I mean, it's epic, because crystal is about gathering, being in a collective, being together, humans in a crowd, in a specific group formation is the crystal tones impulse. And then, so it was like a gathering in the essence of blue hand, a gathering in the essence of my friend. That was the synchronicity. And you know, I definitely felt him and sought him on a paranormal level, because of missing him in a good way, the kind of missing someone which is about really releasing them, the closing of the karma, and you know, the surrender to, there is a finality, you know, of it. He'll become pure ether, and I shouldn't chase him down. And maybe he'll reappear or not, but just, you know, really emotional place to kind of pry my hands off of his spirit self. So that blue crystal hand day ended up being really meaningful to me, because there was beauty, and it was all orchestrated to happen as a ceremony. The day had a ceremony within it. And I don't know if you had any way of like reading the tea leaves of your blue crystal hand day. I met a yellow warrior. I mean, not truly, I don't know if he was one, but I met a man on blue crystal hand. And I couldn't help but say to him, like, wow, your energy is really strong, like very positive male energy. I'm saying that aloud because I find that elusive. And, you know, it was oversharing, which is kind of my theme. But it was me, without using any language of our calendar, saying to someone, okay, you're a yellow warrior. You're noble. You're intelligent. You're focused, you're disciplined, and you clearly want to be fair and just, but you want to make sure that people feel safe around you. And I did feel safe around him, and it was beautiful. And I ended up giving him some of Stan's clothes, my friend who I inherited, a 77-year-old male friend, father figure's entire wardrobe, which is, you know, doesn't really translate to what I wear, but I wanted to be clothed in his garments as a place of comfort, kind of like when someone wears the Letterman jacket of their boyfriend, although this was not a romantic figure in my life. It was like a dad, and I wanted to wear some of my dad's clothes to feel sheltered, or again, you know, behind the shield. Someone's outer visage might be their outfits, and I wanted to be shielded by his garments. Sorry, my phone pinged. That's not very mystical. The other thing that clearly is in the mix here is the solar tone, and I would like to stay with storytelling rather than just being in the, you know, Hollywood narcissism drama, and my role in including it here as any kind of important feature. I have an ex-boyfriend who's solar. He's a yellow solar human, and he's in prison. Well, he's in jail, but he's heading to prison for 15 to 20 years. He hasn't been in my life for 5 or 6 years as a romantic partner. So this whole thing that he has embroiled himself with this round, with a long sentence, has nothing to do with me. And I actually stopped in to visit the jail when I was in Santa Barbara, because that's where he is. And seeing him, I had visited him in jail before, because he had
he had a different issue when I did know him. And I learned, you know, a lot about jail and what's expected when you are stuck in those places of trying to make human connection through glass and phones. And it was very comfortable and easy for me to slip back into that place. And it was very joyous to be able to see him at all, even though I don't really think of him as an important part of my life. Because when there's that adversity, being able to break through it all and make contact, like you're not allowed to see someone essentially when they're locked away, but you can for this 45-minute window. And it becomes special, and not just because they've dictated that's all you get, but because you can cram so much meaningful intent into a brief time when that's all you have. And he's solar, so it's his time. And it was, you know, the third week in the West when the transformation happens. And he is a fiery redhead with way too much intention. He doesn't carry things out. He's full of ideas. You know, I really recognize the adversity of the solar tone, and I talk about it. You know, the hard part of the solar time is that it is just about wishing and intending, and the manifestation is right on the heels of it, but it isn't in this moment. So when you see things happening around you in the solar moon, they aren't happening yet. You're just wanting them to happen, and you're envisioning them, which is an active, strong place to be, and it's the right time for that kind of visioning. But it's not actualizing. You're not in any kind of control of the outcome of what you're wishing for. I'm not. You and I, neither of us are. When I was in Santa Barbara and I met this person who seemed like an innate warrior, I wanted to be with him. Like, I was just like, why? I don't want to not know him. He has a wonderful vibe. But that is not at all what's happening right now in the solar moon. He's just part of an intention or a visualization or a wishfulness of an energy that I'm hoping to acquire in some way in my life. And if my expectations are ungrounded, which they will be in a fiery solar time, but, you know, I can't attach an expectation that he would be any kind of answer. In fact, I'm certain that he won't be around in the planetary moon, but he represents something that I'm, you know, looking for realization or attainment of. So there's that difference. But in terms of, you know, just spending time with someone who's solar and paying attention to what they're saying and learning about the tone through them in their time, I think that's really key. And you can do that in your relationships. But, you know, also just a person who doesn't follow this calendar can't know that maybe I'm just really drawn to them because it's their time, but it doesn't mean either that I will be there in the planetary moment with them. I can't know it, but I could feel that in our exchange. Like I'm just in the solar ascent, you know, I'm close as possible to a heavenly place where the source of life comes from, the solar sun, center of our galaxy. And in that clarity and enlightenment, I care deeply about my very ex-boyfriend, meaning we're not going to reunite, and want to be his friend or supportive there for him in some way, even though he has created such a dark destiny for himself or been delivered that. So that actually also happened on Blue Crystal Hand, and he's a yellow human, so that supported him, and he supported me. It was his analog day, but it was also the epic center point of this touchstone day that started in the morning with my little yellow warrior aspirational moment with this new but passing guy. He lives somewhere I don't. And then digging into the service or the, you know, showing up for a friend who's incarcerated. And then in the evening, it just happened that I saw the warrior-esque noble guy again. So that's just me, I think, being kind of a girl here, but between talking about the Oscars and my pseudo dating life, I just always want to offer some kind of personal everyday experience of what this calendar is and has been for me for ages and ages. It gets really rich and mystical and out there, but it's also very functional, handling just whatever arises or arrives for me. Appreciate you listening. So glad I got back on the mic. I'm Lisa Starr. I am another yourself. And in Mayan, we say, in Lakesh, and happy magic flight.